9:17, glad to have you along here on the talk show. I am graced by some pretty good company who brought me a gift as well, so I'm really, really happy about that. From the United Way of Adams County, Michaela Buckley, Natalie Cornwell. Ladies, thank you for being here. Good morning.
Yes, thank you. We brought you that gift just so you'd say nice things about us.
Oh, I would do that regardless, but I really would because of the work that you do. But you brought me a T-shirt to kind of kick off the new fundraising campaign. Thanks to you, it's working.
Yes, that's hot off the press. We just got those yesterday, so... we kicked off our campaign a couple weeks ago, and yes, the theme of it is Thanks to You, It's Working. Just kind of looking to thank our donors and our volunteers and our partners for everything they're doing to help promote our mission and everything we do throughout Adams County.
Yeah, because thanks to the donors, they're the ones that make everything happen, don't they?
Absolutely. They're a huge part of what we do, and they're a huge reason as to why we can support a huge spotlight of our campaign this year, which is Alice. And for anyone that doesn't know who's listening, Alice stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. And these are the individuals that are working so hard every single day, but they don't always have enough to quite make ends meet. And Miss Natalie can tell you a whole lot more than I can about the specifics of them, but our campaign is really looking to spotlight them and help lift those individuals up.
All righty, and that is the main focus of that. Do you have a goal for this campaign, what you would like to raise if everything came together perfectly?
We're not really looking to set a goal this year, just keeping in mind that we're trying to raise money to help our partners and those Alice families. Just looking to continue to keep the momentum forward and thanking the people because it is working.
All righty. Yeah, so, great name for the campaign. It, once you know a little bit about the United Way, so makes perfectly good sense. Natalie, let's talk a little bit about Alice. And these are quite a lot of folks in Quincy and Adams County. They're working. They're just not making enough to really be comfortable because that seems to be getting harder and harder every year, doesn't it?
It sure does. And I'm wondering if I can quiz you a little bit.
Sure.
And have you guess at what percentage you think of Adams County is working but just doesn't quite make enough to pay for all their basic necessities? Any guesses?
Let me say 57%.
Well, 57% is super, super high. Unfortunately, it's not that high. It's actually 26% of Adams County. That would be about 1 in 4 households or over 7,000 households. Now, that is on top of our friends and neighbors who do receive federal assistance because they make less than the federal poverty level. But Alice doesn't receive any assistance because Alice, or Al, as we like to say, makes too much money. And Alice exists at all age groups. There are seniors who are Alice, families headed up by a single father, a single mother, there are couples. So there's no age limit or parameter for this group of residents. They just have to be working and not make enough to pay all their bills.
Yeah, I know that was a high guess for me, but it's still the 27% you mentioned is still really too high because, I mean, well, that's my comments about society everlasting. I mean, do you find that people who are kind of doubting those figures are, I mean, is their instant response, well, they should just get another job?
No, absolutely not. The reaction is, wow, we knew there were people working, we knew there were people struggling, but now we have a name. And Alice may not be your name, but that might be who you are. And by spotlighting that, we're bringing awareness. And we're saying, when you donate to United Way, yes, we will always help those less fortunate who are unable to work, but we have this ever-growing population that truly needs our support because they are working and just can't make enough.
Yeah, and what kind of help would the United Way and the partner agencies, would they be able to provide to Alice folks?
So our partners can provide different things throughout their programs that we fund, but us specifically, we have a couple different programs in-house. One would be our helpline. So you can call our helpline at any time. I'm going to answer it and try to give you that personalized assistance for whatever you're needing. If it's rent, utilities, childcare, whatever it is, I can certainly try and point you in that right direction. We also have our unmet needs program, which helps. It's a collaborative effort between local social service agencies and churches. It also helps pay for car repairs and rent, utilities, things like that. And then we also have our Good News of Christmas program that's coming up really quick. That's a big one for Alice families. It helps give a full Christmas to families in need. It is a once-in-a-lifetime gift, but once you've received it, it kind of gives you that Christmas that you've been needing and helps those families that desperately could use that little help and hand.
Do you find that people who receive that kind of help maybe a little bit later on will want to kind of respond and say, hey, I'd like to help with a program like this. How do I do that?
Oh, absolutely. Last year was my first time getting to experience our distribution day and getting to see the families. And I think there's a stigma that comes with being Alice. A lot of people are a little embarrassed by it, and we constantly have to tell them there's no need to be embarrassed, nothing. And that I saw that last year a little bit, but there's more thankfulness and gratitude mixed in. And a lot of them say, how can we help? How can we donate our time? And what can we do to help these families? And so it's really cool to see them receive it and then also give the same way.
Getting back to that feeling that you mentioned about people not wanting to take the help, thinking, oh, I'll just work harder and get through it. How prevalent is that here in the area?
Very prevalent. A lot of the times I'll answer that helpline call, and one of the first things they say is, I'm not used to asking for help. I'm embarrassed. And it's very important for me and our organization as a whole to let people know you don't have to be embarrassed. We are here for you. That is why we're here. You're not alone. So just come, let us know what we can help you with, and we're happy to guide you any way we can.
Right. And it can be a tough thing, and it just kind of creeps up on you, the whole situation. So the help is there. That's why you do this every year. That's why you work with your partner agencies to provide the help to help people out of, the situation that they get into and, provide them with a, help up. And the important thing about this is that you do it with a sense of dignity, don't you?
Yeah. I tell people all the time, this is the best thing I've ever had the privilege of doing. Not because I get to feel good every day, because you get to genuinely see the change that you are making, and people get to leave your presence feeling better about themselves and knowing that, help is coming.
Right. I know it was amazing to see the fact that like a few years ago, and you may not remember this, it was just during the pandemic, Natalie, you may remember this, the fact that during the pandemic years, the outpouring of support was even greater than was expected. You'd lowered your goals, but then it was like they beat them. Is it getting harder now to come back to folks and say, well, the need's always there. We need your help again.
I mean, this is my first go around with everything, but like I said in the beginning, I feel the momentum. It feels really good. It feels like people are wrapping around. I think the idea of Alice is really tangible for a lot of people, because we all know an Alice. A lot of us have been Alice. Maybe we were raised by Alice. And so I think with that, people are wrapping around United Way, and they're coming back, and they understand us a little more. So I think in my first experience, I can feel it. I feel really good and really supported by the community.
Yeah. Are you finding that the numbers of people that you're helping is about the same that it's been in terms of the partner agencies? I think it was something like 46% of the county's population was involved with one of the partner agencies that you work with every year. Is that about the same, do you think?
I can take this.
All right, you go ahead and take it, Natalie.
Absolutely. And what's important to understand is we've been doing this since 1937, and so it started out as a community chest, and the needs change. It's right now we see a whole lot more people who need help with the basics, and it's a different group of people. As we've been talking about Alice, it's more people who are working, and they'll often say, you should really help someone who really needs it. And we say, we're here to help anyone who needs it. But when you give to us, because we have those 26 programs that we support through our 17 partners that are also nonprofits helping others, you know that you're reaching a very broad group of people in Adams County.
All right, very good. Go ahead and define ALIS for me one more time. I think I've got it. No, you go ahead and define it for me, just so I get it right.
Yeah, it stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed.
Okay, very, very good. And there's as we found out, Natalie quizzed me, and there's 27% of the people in Adams County who are considered to be ALIS. The help is there. Take it. That's what it is there for. That's what these folks do every day, and providing the support to their partner service agencies who are out there working hard every day. So check out the brand new campaign, and I got to look at my T-shirt again. That I got to make sure whenever I'm around anybody from the United Way, I need to wear it. Thanks for you. It's working. It is the new campaign. If you are in a business that supports the United Way, be sure to support them generously, because that's part of it too. That you go around to the businesses that always support it and say, we're here again, but we've got something a little bit different for you this time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big part of what we do.
Yeah, exactly. Ladies, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it very, very much. You're always welcome. We've got a spot saved for you, so we're really looking forward to finding out more, how the campaign goes, how the community's understanding of ALIS hopefully will grow in the weeks ahead. So really looking forward to it. Thank you very, very much. Michaela Buckley, Natalie Cornwell with the United Way of Adams County. 928, we're going to take a break. We'll find out what's going on in the commodity markets and more here on the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD. At 9:32, now let's check in with the folks from the Ursa Farmers Co-op for the latest prices. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Corn for September is down 1 at 387. December it's down 3 at 409. Soybeans for November is down 1 at 1046. January is down 1 at 1066. Wheat for September is up 2 at 508. Wheat for July is up 1 at 568. Soybean meal for September is up 2 at 298. Lean hogs for October is up 1 at 92.47. Feeder cattle for October is up 1 at 361. Live cattle for October is up at 237. Crude oil is down at 63.60. And the Dow Jones is down 26 at 45,327. Thank you.
Nine 9:33. Glad to have you back here on the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. I'm Scott Hardy. And coming up very, very soon, the next production at the Quincy Community Theater is going to be a very entertaining one. It is based on the Agatha Christie novel. It's Murder on the Orient Express. And on the line now, the artistic director with the Quincy Community Theater, Ethan Nineber, is on the line. Ethan, good morning. Thanks for holding on. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
You betcha. Now, this is based on the Agatha Christie novel, but I imagine, what kind of production is this? Is it going to be just a straight mystery, a little bit of musical? What have we got in store for people at the Quincy Community Theater?
Well, this is going to be a what we call a straight play, so it's no music, and it is indeed a murder mystery. It's a whodunit. It revolves around the illustrious detective Hercule Poirot and takes place in Europe aboard the incredibly luxurious Orient Express steam train. So lots of intrigue, all of these different characters coming together in one place, sort of happenstance to have all these different types of people in one place. But, of course, that's where the greatest murder mysteries happen.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that the whole thing of the Orient Express is based very loosely on the fact that in the first part of the late part of the 19th and the early part of the 20th century, I think there was like a train that ran directly from Berlin, like all the way like through Turkey and Baghdad and into the Orient. I think it's something like that, isn't it?
Yes, yes, you're correct. Yeah, it is based on a real train, and they really felt like it was kind of like the Titanic of trains at the time. It was supposed to be the height of opulence, where anyone who's anyone would use to travel, through Europe.
Yeah, yeah. And they were quite opulent, weren't they, back in the day?
Yeah, they absolutely were. They absolutely were. And that's why, you know, in the story you have all these really fun, rich characters, because not only are they rich people, but they are quite literally rich. Yeah. And so you have, you know, a princess and you have, you know, very, very wealthy people sort of all converging into this one storyline. But, you know, it's an incredible story because it has this wonderful sort of bookend quality to it. It starts with this initial mystery and you sort of think to yourself, huh, well, I wonder how that's going to come back into play. And then you come to find out that it's one of the greatest mysteries solved in this detective's life because he solves sort of multiple mysteries simultaneously. So yeah, it's the mix of the opulence and the whodunit all together. It's a really fun world to live in and a really great show that's been freshly adapted by an incredible author by the name of Ken Ludwig for the stage.
Very, very good. And of course, it's all set in the 1920s after everybody figures out, you know, what they're doing with their lives after World War I, especially, which is it's always very, very interesting. Now, I know you won't have this, but it would be very, very interesting if you could have one person just say the same line that Gal Gadot did in the latest movie adaptation about there's enough champagne to fill the Nile. You don't have that, do you?
No, they didn't. They didn't give us that line, unfortunately, to work with. But you know, the show actually has a lot of comedy in it too, which is I'm kind of glad you bring that up because I think when folks think of a whodunit, they don't expect there to be as many laughs as there are in this show. But there's some huge laughs in this show, and one character in particular who's from the Midwest. She's from Minnesota. The character she provides a lot of comedic relief around all these other sort of opulent European folks. So it's still got some intrigue in that way. It's not all doom and gloom.
Is she classic Midwestern Minnesota in terms of like her accent and things like that?
Absolutely. Oh, accent and everything. Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic.
She'll be talking about having roast gopher there, don't you know? So that'll be good. That will be good. But the way you've described this, my guest is artistic director at Quincy Community Theater, Ethan Nineber, talking about Murder on the Orient Express. And the way that you've described this, with the fact that the Detective Poirot is solving multiple mysteries, there's going to be a lot of twists and turns in this presentation, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Audiences should get ready to hang on to the edge of their seats because you sort of always think it's going one direction. You think, yeah, so to speak, the train is headed in one way, and then all of a sudden we divert tracks and there's a different bit of intrigue, a little bit more mystery sprinkled in as to who is actually the one to apprehend in this murder mystery. So, oh yeah, you're gonna be on the edge of your seats. It'll have you with a little bit of whiplash at the end going, oh, I didn't even see that coming.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing about Poirot is that he acts all the time like, yeah, I'm on top of it. I've got it. I knew it all the time.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Well, and so for this production, we've got a really awesome guest director who's joined us. His name is Ron Ziegler. And Ron has always described this show as a noir piece. It's like a film noir piece. And so they really lean into that sort of feeling of Poirot being almost transcendent. He rides above all of it. And so the way that Ron has been envisioning this whole piece has just been fantastic.
That would be. That would be just, and it just adds a little bit of an air of mystery and suspense because that's what noir always did, you know, even when it, you know, in its heyday back in the 40s. How would you achieve that? Because obviously in film, it's so easy to do that. You just stay in black and white or you shade it in different ways to kind of add to that. But do you do that on the stage production as well? Maybe darken it a little bit and just have people act in a certain way, like they may be guilty, they may not be guilty. How would you go about doing that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as far as acting goes, it's always fun to sort of bury the lead, right? To drop a little bit of false bait along the way as an actor. So I know the cast is having a great time doing that, finding the moments where they can almost sort of wink and nudge towards the audience a little bit to say, hey, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one that you should be paying closer attention to. But really, the beautiful part about creating the whole dynamic is that we've got a whole host of team of designers. We've got an incredible scenic costume and lighting designer, and all three of those folks are really helping to build this world. So yes, expect a lot of sort of stage smoke and haze. Expect very dramatic lighting. Expect these sort of ritzy but sort of muted tones in the costumes, because it definitely also is sort of pulling together to feel like it is actually one of those noir films, to feel like it is from back in the day, but live on stage and right in front of you. So it's really, you know, it's such a labor of love of everyone in every show that we do, but in particular when you have such a clear style that you're playing towards, you really have to lean into every single person's expertise, and we've got some incredible folks working on this show. Our scenic designer, Seth Campbell, who used to work at the theater as our technical director. We've got Valerie Hernandez, who's our costume designer. She's absolutely fantastic and has designed many shows for us over the years. She just did Waitress this spring as well. And then we got a new lighting designer coming to us from the Twin Cities area, actually, from Minnesota. His name is Wesley Cohn. And Wesley's whole thing is being incredibly smart and tactful with dramas and plays. So he uses a lot of really advanced lighting techniques and makes you really sort of come along for the ride and feel the emotions just from the moment the lights come up. So it's a whole team effort, but they're putting this noir film on stage beautifully so far.
I was just going to ask you about the costume, and the props and everything about that. They must have been putting in a lot of work, because finding it's not just, you know, a standard 1920s decor that you're wanting, you know, or a standard 1920s suits. A lot of instances, as you kind of mentioned, these are the idle rich. So they're going to be dressed to the nines for every type of occasion. And I can't imagine finding the types of costumes like that. That must be a lot of work.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Val is a master of finding things like that, though. She's really, I don't know if she's just got a sixth sense for it. She can feel where it is and go find it. She will thrift things. She will search online. She does not leave any stone unturned to find the things that she needs. And, you know, the good news, of course, is that, you know, with the theater being around for over 100 years, we have a lot of really cool things already. So we are playing with a stacked deck a bit in that sense, too. But absolutely, some really fantastic stuff. You've got, you know, a guy from Scotland, so he's got the kilt. And you've got, you know, this incredible host of folks from Sweden and Belgium and all these other areas. So he's been working really hard to make sure that they feel like they're dressed authentically. They feel like they're dressed of their people and of their heritage. So it's going to be such a treat for the eyes too. Nonetheless, your brain, as you try to figure out exactly the source of the mystery here.
Yeah. I tell you what, folks, if you want to get more of, if you're more visual than descriptive, that Ethan and I have been doing, go to the QCT website at 1QCT.org, click on upcoming shows, and then go to Murder on the Orient Express, because you've linked a YouTube video, kind of a preview of the show coming up next month. And I haven't watched it yet, but we've been talking, but just from the scene, the picture that you'll see in that, it looks like you've nailed it pretty spot on, not only with the costuming, but with the lighting as well, because it is very dark, just a little spotlight on the character as well. So this is going to be a really good production, and it sounds like something that folks are definitely want to go check out for themselves.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's coming up soon, too. We've got shows coming up September 12th through the 14th, and then September 18th through the 21st. So it's right around the corner. I can't believe that August is almost already gone, and here we go. The train's on the tracks with Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah, exactly. The 12th and the 13th will be the Saturday, will be the evening shows at 7:30. The 14th will be the afternoon matinee, and then the same thing for the 18th, 19th, and 20th. Those will be evening shows, and then on the 21st, that will also be the matinee. We're talking it over with the artistic director of the Quincy Community Theater, Ethan Nineber, about Murder on the Orient Express, less than a couple of weeks away. We'll be talking a lot more about this here. We'll take a break. Be back with more here on the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD. Welcome back to the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, distributed by Refreshment Services Pepsi. Scott Hardy, glad to be with you here on a gorgeous day. And we're talking it over with Ethan Nineber, the artistic director at the Quincy Community Theater, about the presentation of Murder on the Orient Express starting September the 12th. It'll run that weekend and the following weekend. Ethan, thanks so much for hanging on. Appreciate it very, very much. I've got a question for you, and I'm not sure if I'm correct or not, and please correct me if I'm wrong. It's Poirot.
Sure.
It's Poirot that always says, because it always comes up when someone else is talking about him or introduces him, this is Inspector Poirot. He's French, and it's the one where he kind of looks up and he's like, I'm Belgian.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I thought so.
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah.
That's correct. Yes.
Which is,
yeah, it's such an interesting character because he does speak with this French accent still, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's that fantastic, you know, sort of European overlap for him, having lived so many places and you know, been a detective on all these different murders. He, yeah, of course, has this French accent, because that's where he spent most of his time.
Yeah. It's also kind of, it's a knowledge of Christie's knowledge of Europe as well, because Belgium is half French and half Dutch. So I don't know of a better way to put it, but it's a country that kind of has a little bit of schizophrenia. It's like, you know, it's got, you've got these two
right
halves as well. So, but yeah, it's just quality, as you know, quality writing always wins out in these productions, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Agatha Christie, as you're saying, is just such an iconic writer. We're so grateful to have her stories endured this many years. And now to have even more incredible contemporary writers bringing them to us in this really tactful, caring way to preserve the story, but also make it a little more approachable for some of our modern ear, is just such a gift. It's just an absolute pleasure to be able to present shows like this, because we get, like you're saying, that classic sense of Agatha Christie's storytelling, but we don't have to go, wait a second, what do they mean by that? That's an interesting way to say that. That's a rather British way to say that, Miss Christie.
Yeah.
Instead, we get some stuff that's a little bit more easy to understand to our modern ears. So it's just a joy. It really is. It's so special to be able to continue to bring shows like this to our stage, because we do a lot of musicals, you know, and musicals are really the bread and butter of the theater world these days. They're easily the most popular, but the folks that really are theater lovers will probably tell you that they are waiting around for the plays. They are excited for some Agatha Christie.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you stop and think about it for a second, the fact that Murder on the Orient Express is set in the mid-1920s, and the fact that that's 100 years ago. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, it really is. Yeah.
So in order, it makes sense to have the adaptation, not so much, you know, not so much to put in like 2020 slang or anything like that, but just to make it, just to make it a little easier to kind of follow along here.
Exactly. Well, and you know what? The interesting thing, too, is that, you know, Christie's stories always had movement. They always had pace. But even now, in our modern sensibilities, we like things even snappier and faster and to move even a little bit quicker. So, you know, it's you're so right. It's not about taking the language and turning it into 2025, you know, slang or you know, what you see on like social media or something. No. It's all about pacing and structure and some of the colloquialisms, you know. I mean, they've got a couple, there's a British character and they've got a couple of British sayings in the show, but if you were to maybe take all of the British sayings, all of us in America would be going, wait, what is that? What is some of this? So just adapting it enough so that we don't have to be going, wait, what did they even say? We can stick with the story and it moves. This story moves fast.
Yeah. Which, first of all, that's amazing considering it's in a moving train. You know, so the fact that the fact that it does have that, the script does have that type of pacing is a testament again to the writing. I think more people kind of know basic British slang, but of course, you know, England is quite amazing. It's such a small country, but yet, like every 50 miles and somebody speaks a different form of it as well. But I mean, most people are be like, you know, it's like that's a good thing, and it, and most people will know that obviously, but. You know, but still, you know, just to make it a little more relatable is always such a wonderful thing. Talking it over with Ethan Nienaber, artistic director at the Quincy Community Theater, talking about Murder on the Orient Express for the show coming up the weekend of September 12th and then the following weekend of the 18th as well. What age ranges would you consider this show to be aimed at, Ethan? I mean, it's not going to be strictly an adult show, is it?
No, I wouldn't think so. At the theater, we always recommend folks to, you know, think about what's best for them and their kids, of course. But if it were my kids, I would say anywhere from, for sure, 13 and up, I would think would be pretty comfortable with the material. I think, honestly, the real thing that the kids may struggle the most with is there's all these different accents, so they might miss some things if they're not used to hearing a Scottish accent and a Swedish accent and, you know, even a British accent or Belgian or even Minnesotan. I mean, it's all over the map. So, if you feel like your kid's got the attention span to really stick with it, because it, like I said, it moves fast and it's sometimes a little dense. There's a lot of kind of emotional interplay going on, and sometimes it gets a little wordy because it's a whodunit and we're trying to figure this whole thing out. So they jump down the rabbit hole of dialogue sometimes. So if you feel like, hey, your kid is excited to come and really deeply engage with the whodunit, then they're probably the right age. But yeah, I'd say definitely teenagers would probably have a lot of fun coming to see it, but certainly, you know, adults of all ages, I think, especially, you know, if you're a fan of anything Agatha Christie, if you're a fan of anything in that whodunit realm, if you're a Sherlock Holmes fan, you should certainly be coming to see this show, because it's right up that alley. It totally is, and it's got all of the intrigue to go with it. There's the romance. There's the, you know, the sort of hidden identity aspect in the show. I try not to give away too much here, too, because we don't want to spoil anything. But, yeah, I think it's great for many, many ages. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I imagine there's going to be a lot of subtext, which may not even be spoken as well. So I imagine this is going to be needing a close watch just to make sure to catch everything, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. It moves quickly, like I've been saying, but, you know, it's still a play in two acts. So you're going to have that somewhat traditional structure in theater, right? You've got this build up through the first act that, you know, if you're not hanging on almost every single word, you know, you might not know, oh, that's why that happened. That makes all the sense in the second act. So, yeah, you're definitely going to want to come with your listening ears on, but that's a thrilling experience, hopefully, for folks. It's like I said, it won't feel like a two-act play. You'll blink and all of a sudden you'll go, oh, I know who the murderer was.
Yeah, there you go. And don't blurt it out so you don't want to ruin it for everybody.
That's right. That's right. I'm doing pretty good so far. We'll see how I keep going.
Ethan, you're doing great. You are doing great. Folks, it's Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. It has been adapted for the modern stage. You won't hear Riz, but you'll understand everything that is going on. Showtimes are on September the 12th and 13th at 7:30, the 14th of the afternoon matinee at 2, and then the following weekend it'll be the 18th, the 19th, and the 20th, all at 7:30, and then the afternoon matinee at 2. It's a kind of a long show. It'll run over 2 hours, so you'll definitely want to do that. Set aside some time to really enjoy it, and be sure to get your tickets now at the number one QCT.org. That's the number one QCT.org. Ethan Nineberg, thank you so much for taking time out to explain all of this and to set up the show. Really appreciate it. You're welcome here anytime, Ethan.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. And yeah, folks should stay tuned to our website. We got a lot of exciting things coming up, and theater gets really busy this season, and we're about to announce our 2026 season at the end of September. So if folks want to be the first to hear about that, they can RSVP for a free event to come hear what next year's going to hold.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much, Ethan. It's WTAD Quincy. It's 10 o'clock.